Let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Now, we did Psalms 25 last week. And I talked very strong about us being able to acknowledge our weakness and our sense of inability before God, not for the sake of whining and complaining and finding people who can feel sorry for you and go along with you, but for the sake of before God saying, your word promises that when I'm weak, you're strong, for your strength is perfected in my weakness. Last week, we went really, really strong into being able to say before God, I am in myself, broken, weak, afraid, whatever the case may be. And, my favorite prayer, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And Philippians 2:13, not in my own strength, for it is you who works in me both to will and to do your good pleasure. And those words hold me up. Like I said, I found those become my catchphrases. I wear God out with those. I'm like, okay, I'm going right back in the bag and grabbing this one. It works over and over and over again. So I was like saying, God, well, you made it very clear that we could come before you and acknowledge that we are weak and that we need your help. Not that we are weak in the spirit, but our flesh sometimes does not have, we don't sense the ability in us to be all the things that we thought we could be. And when I think about Jesus taking on that flesh of man to feel what man feels, and at that time saying, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me, like the acknowledgement of, okay, this really does suck. This, I have to think about, you got to think about this. This is someone who had not felt pain, human pain, or pain that I know of, or indecision, or emotional anything at that point. I want you to think about this now. God in flesh, feeling all of these conflicting emotions and thoughts that a man feels. Thank God, yet without sin, but feeling all of this stuff and all of a sudden going, so this is what they go through? This is what this actually feels like? Yeah, we got to give them some clauses in the New Testament. We got to give them some outs. We got to give them some wording. We have to redo the wording of this contract to compensate for this weakness that mankind has. If you understand the contracts and stuff and dealing with them, Lindsay and I, we deal with contracts all the time. We understand, if you are looking at contracts and people, somebody just gave me a contract and I was like, yeah, that's going to change. That's going to change. That's going to change. That's going to change. Why? Because it doesn't, I don't feel like I'm benefited enough in this contract. It's not a bad contract, but it definitely leans toward you because you wrote it. Now, and I need to put some clauses in here that make it lean a little bit more in my direction or a little more favorable toward me. And no, I'm not looking out for you in my adjustments because you didn't look out for me and yours. Now, God said, I'm going to look out for you. I'm going to make some adjustments in this agreement. In this will and testament, I'm going to put some clauses in here that gives you an out that you wouldn't have because you obviously don't have the ability to live up to my standard. I need you to really understand this. This is really, really dope. So God rewrote his contract to compensate for our weaknesses before we were yet in our mother's womb. I might add, because I don't want you taking like, oh, so wait, so God didn't know when he did the first agreement? No, it said he had prepared Christ's salvation for us in Christ before we were yet in our mother's womb. So no, in the plan of redemption from the beginning, there was this clause. Now, he asked us to be vulnerable, to be weak before him, Let his strength prevail in us. And to that, those who've been walking with him a while have learned to say amen. Yes. Yes, indeed. And some of you after last week's messages have said, I feel less frustrated about being vulnerable or feeling weak when I go before the throne and confessing to God that I don't feel like the person that the word or you say that I am, and how it's been freedom for them to be able to be vulnerable before God and not try to come all the time, you know, pitch perfect and every note straight and every line, everything I say is right and oop, don't confess that. Am I correct? Amen. Well, this week, the verse that was given to me goes like this. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall read it and meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will be successful. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified or dismayed or intimidated, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Well, we just did this whole study where God is asking for your vulnerability. He's asking for you to be in your own self, in your own emotion, in your own opinion, weak. He asks for that in the New Testament. For he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. So he's telling you, don't get too cocky and don't be too sure of who you are and where you are. And that contradicts everything the world tells us, but it also contradicts what the faith message tells us, right? That we're supposed to be always strong. We're supposed to always confess the right thing and all of these things. And I don't disagree with any of that. But he was saying even then, remember I said, he asked for something of you. And then as a result of the ask, he gives you something in return, which is always bigger than his ask. I'm going to never stop saying that because that's a very, very huge point to be made. Say, God demands of me, but he returns to me more than what he asks of me. We could say way more than what he asks of me. Now, if you think about it, let's go with this a minute. Now, this is going to be a short class, but this is going to be a class, all right? So get ready. This is class. He said, whatever you give in this life, you shall receive a hundredfold return and then eternal life to come. So I need you to understand that when I'm saying God asks of you, but then he always gives way more, listen to me, he promised whatever you give in this life. And I know preachers only use that to try to get money from people, but he said, whatever you give in this life, somebody say in this life, you shall receive a hundredfold return. And he said again, in this life. In this life. So it makes sense when I make a statement like, well, if God demands or asks something of you, the return is always much bigger than what he demands of you. The sacrifice he asks of you is always way less than the return on that sacrifice. Are we all on the same page with that? Because I know I beat that in, and I'm going to keep beating that in, because this is the friendship of God that we have. God is asking us to give, to release, to be vulnerable. Sometimes when he asks us to give money, think about it. You know, you ever had God speak to you and tell you, sow seed, give something. You're like, I need this. Just me? God never asked you to give something that you went, really? But wait, there's a bill, or there's something I was planning to do with this. And he's like, yeah, but I want you to sow it. Now, who's nobody's ever had that experience? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. Now, Have you obeyed when you got that word? That's the important part. Because if he's asked you it and you haven't done it, he stops asking. And prayers don't get answered anymore. And you want to know why? Well, he said, well, if you ain't listened to me last time, I ain't going to keep asking you to do it. But when you come crying to him, we've done this, certain things. We come crying to him, say, God, I don't understand why it's not working. And he's asking me, God, I just need a word from you. And he says, remember the thing I told you to do before? Yeah. We're still right there. We're there. We're still there. We haven't left that. We're still in that spot. Now, he's asking of me so that he can bless me with more of him. It's not just things, feelings, emotions, worries, frustration, even things that he asked for that are not beneficial to us ourselves that we still hold on to. Gripes, beefs, anger, political positions. It's all stuff that God's like, you don't need any of that mess. And that's why I'm so glad whenever I get into it with somebody and they try to come at me with politics, I'm like, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a puppet. I serve the Lord and I vote and I do according to what I believe in prayer is what I need to do. You know, I'm nobody's sheep. Now, that usually silences anybody who tries to come at me because I don't have a position on that. Well, I do, actually. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that's my vote. And I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. So I'm trying my best every day, this is close, not to get too caught up in what the world is talking about. So if you want to get with me and try to have a bigger political conversation, I'm going to tell you right now that it's not going to go well. Because to me, that's a stupid conversation for us who serve the kingdom to be caught up in or to even have. The worst thing in the world, the other thing I see Christians do, they get caught up in this Illuminati stuff. And I'm like, why are you giving all this glory and honor to something that you're deeming and know is a cult, but you just want to talk about it all day? So you already shown me who your allegiance is to. It's to the occult. That stuff interests you. And all that time we could be standing here talking about the goodness of God, you want to talk about some cult. Well, where's your heart? I don't want to have that conversation. And let me just say this to you. I'm just giving you that as a free jewel. Stay away from them videos and don't get caught up in them conversation with people. If you can't sit down with somebody and talk about how your God feeds you, said whatever words come out of my mouth need to be edifying. Well, I've come to the realization that they're not always, you know, I'm not always edifying, not even myself with some of the stuff I say. So here's the thing. He's coming to you again and he's saying, starting back at verse 8, the book of the law should not depart from your mouth. So he's saying, if you want to have a conversation and you want to have a focus and you want to understand how this works, then you need to be so anchored in, which we did last week, that word, that it doesn't leave your speaking. What it means is it shouldn't depart from your mouth. It should not leave your speaking. I'm working on that one. That the book does not depart from my mouth. In every conversation I have, I can somehow, I don't mean you need to stand there and quote scriptures at everybody you speak to, but you understand the law and whatever you bring to me and whatever kind of deal you try to submit to me and whatever kind of thing you try to sit in front of me, I need to be able to say, how does this line up with the law and the word of the law that comes out of my mouth? My response should be in line with the word. Again, doesn't mean you got to quote scriptures to everybody you see, but the principles are the same. And I didn't mean to go here, but I'm going to go here. So I got a group of people who've taken interest in the building, a realtor, a lawyer, his partners. And the name of their company is 12 Stones. So I'm giving them props, right? Jewish gentlemen. I have an Abraham, the original way it's spelled, Abraham. Spelled with a V. There's an Isaac. There's a Jacob. All in within this company, right? And or within the affiliation. And I've developed, even though I haven't met Abraham in person yet, I've developed a friendship with him over the phone. We talk about stuff that has nothing to do with the business. He met Kwame and he met Esther, and he just reached out to me to say to me, what beautiful people you guys are, by the way. He just raved about what sweet spirit you have, and what beautiful people you are. And I didn't know you had a church here, and now things are making sense. And I'm speaking from the place of Jesus as my Messiah, and he is speaking as God, as you know where their faith is. But we're finding out in our conversations, are you listening to me? We don't beat each other over the head with doctrine, but our conversation is more alike than it is different. And our belief system is more alike than it is different. And our values are more alike than they are different. And everything we're having a conversation about is more alike than it is different. Why? Because we're standing on the principles of God and his word, and that word should not depart from us. So we're having the same conversation. We're talking the same. And you know, you man of integrity, and I can see in the kind of people you have around you. And yeah, all the people that work with me, I don't work with anybody that's, and I'm listening. And again, we're developing a friendship, you know, based on the fact that we are not letting the word of God depart from our mouth, meaning leave our heart. Don't let this word depart from your mouth, meaning don't let it leave your heart. That word should be steeped in you, that when you speak and how you speak, I'm identifying how you respond to a friend. Am I? Come on now. This is God is your friend. Then the word that comes out of my mouth should be very, very similar to my friend, because we're in agreement and stance. And I brought this brother up for a reason. Again, he's Jewish. Jewish. You know what I'm saying? By the culture and all that. Don't work on Saturday. We could talk on Sunday. That kind of thing. But our principles and our values, because of the word of God that's in our heart, are exactly the same. And I'm a Christian. You are a living epistle to what you believe. You are a representative of the person that's your friend that you represent. You speak for him. Come on. He's not walking around here speaking for himself right now. He's leaving that up to you to speak for him and represent him as his friend. And then that means I can't compromise with where I want to go, who I want to be seen with, and how I want to run. Why? Because I represent my friend in conversation and communication. I know I've beat it in a lot, but I just want this to settle into your spirit so deep. So let's go forward. He said, this word should not depart out of your mouth, but you shall read it and meditate on it. Not just read. I read my scripture every day. Do you meditate on it? Now, can I ask you a question? Does anybody sometime when they read that go like, what do you mean meditate? How you meditate? Like people think meditation is sitting in the field with your legs crossed with cows around you or something, or sitting up on a mountain somewhere making sounds, right? I remember when I first read it, I was like, okay, so meditation? Like, you know, do I do my fingers? Like, what do you do? And he's like, meditate is not the hums and the sounds you make. Meditation is considering how that thing applies to your life, pondering it, investigating it within yourself. Don't tell me I read scripture every day. Okay, you read scripture every day, then you just reading a quote book. You think you're using it like it's almost witchcraft. Like I'm just gonna keep confessing in the air. I am blessed and highly favored. I am strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I can do all things through Christ's strength. Okay, well you're creating mantras, but you're not meditating on it. Meditating is you say, now how does that apply to me? Okay, if I'm going to say I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out, what does that mean? When things are going my way, the way I want them to go? No. It's a state of spirit that I'm in, that I'm blessed even when the world is trying to say the opposite. Huh. I like Kwame's line. He looked blessed and highly favored. Did you meditate on that? What does that mean? You know, I'm not talking about UQ. I'm just talking about in general. do we meditate on? Because I use that now. And I'm like, am I highly favored? What does that mean? That's meditate. Highly favored means people prefer me over other people. You ever thought about that? Highly favored means you prefer me over other people. I'm your favorite. I'm highly favored by God. God, I'm your favorite. And I'm highly favored by the people you send me to be favored by. They choose me over everybody else. Without me trying to kiss up to them and make them like me, they just do and they don't know why. I'm highly favored. So some of you watch me and you see, and Ruth, like you said this a long time ago, and you didn't, I don't know how deep you thought about it, but it impacted me. It made an impression on my mind and my life. When you said to your parents, and you said, how did he have this building and the church is so small? And you said, God has blessed him. He just got away with money. I don't know what it is. It's just something with him and money. And I never looked at it like that until she said it. And I said, that's favor. God, I got favor. I never lack. I never lack. I never lack. And no matter what happens, I don't lack. God pulled me aside the other day and said, you complaining about the building and what's going on with the building and, you know, all this and the other, and you have to pay that money every month. Yeah, he said, look in the bank account and tell me if it's going down. And I did, and I was like, wow, it's holding steady. Thank you. You don't need to be worried about that. You anointed in that way. You're not worried about that. Come on, y'all. I'm not worried about that. That's not a concern of mine. I went to go get some skates because the skates I had was too big, and that's how I twisted my ankle. And I'm going in, I'm looking, I said, well, I'm not spending over this. I already made up my mind. Both pair of skates I got before cost me $250. I'm going to get rid of those. I'm going to get some better skates. And I went to the store and I had my number set. 400, 450, may push it to 500, maybe, but I'm not trying to even, I want to stay in this range of 250 if I can. I got to the store and I started looking at the different boots and the different things, and this one is going to be 300 something, this is going to be that. And I'm looking, I said, wait, this is pleather. This is not leather, right? This is a fake boot, right? So, yeah, but it's really popular, but it's a fake boot. Yeah, it's not leather. No, so it's not going to really last as long as, he said, oh, you want a better boot? Well, you want a leather boot? It's a different kind of, you know, I'm trying to, I said, stop trying to look out for me. Show me what a good boot looks like. And he showed me the boot and I looked at it and my spirit said, that's the boot. That's the boot. Now you got to add the plate to it. That's the plate. Except when you buy them from a professional shop, it's different. You get the boot, you get the plate, you get the bearings, you get the wheels. Boom, boom, boom. I'm like, in my spirit, like, I love it. This is the one. I know is the one. I love it. Okay, well, you know, you can just leave with the money you put down last year, deposit, and you pay the rest and you pick it up. I didn't realize till it was over that I spent $700 on a pair of skates. I didn't even realize I was doing that until I came back to get, I said, wait. How much did I just pay? Well, you paid 300 this time, 360 this time, and you paid whatever this time, like seven and change. And I was like, okay, God, you had to hide that from me because there's no way I would have spent that much money on a pair of skates. No way. But God said, and it hurt you how? Not at all. Enjoy your skates. That's my God. So when everybody was telling me I need to upgrade my skates, these are not good skates. When I came back last week, Sunday, everybody, okay, wait, we said upgrade. This is a whole different level right here. And I was like, I only live once. And this is what I felt led to do. It's not about skates. This is about when you're walking with God, and you serving him the way you tell him to, and you meditating on his principles day and night, and his word is in your mouth, you find yourself in places and blessings that sometimes you got to stop and sit back and go, oh, that's real. I need you to understand, I don't live up church offerings now, and it's what, 10 of us at most, right? And I haven't had a job job in 30 years. And I'm still going, God, this is not my destiny, is it? No, I didn't call you to this. Okay. So what you call me to? And in this season, he said, I need you to be mindful of our friendship. And I need you to be mindful of the things that come out of your mouth when you're in public. Do they represent us? He didn't say, do it represent me? I need you to stop and take this in. God didn't ask me, you know how church people say, well, does it, how do you represent the Lord? God didn't say that. He said, does it represent us? We're friends. When you out, I have this conversation more with Lindsay probably than anybody else. You're mindful of how, because we business partners, we work together, how you represent fear. That's you and me and the company. And God has been saying to me, you and I are a partnership. And when you're out and you're talking and you're having general conversation, are you representing us as a company? What are the words that are coming out of your mouth? Do you get around earthly people and try to be more earthly in your conversation to fit in and not be the weird outcast? Come on, I'm not, it's just me. Is it only me? I'm the only one who have to deal with this? Okay. And he said, watch how you represent us. And it wasn't any guilt or shame or anything attached to it. It was like, yeah, I could do that. With your help, I could do that. Keep me in check. I'm gonna watch my mouth. I'm gonna watch my conversation. I'm gonna watch what kind of conversations I get in. So if I'm in one of the chat rooms and the conversations get stupid, I say, okay, this is garbage and I'm out of here. And I just sign right out. Just I don't even like just click, I'm out. This conversation has gotten stupid and I'm out. You know, this is beneath us, me and God. It's beneath us. We don't have this conversation. Ain't nobody gonna be ministered to at the end of the day here. I stayed a long time on this, so I'm gonna bring it home. Wrap it up. So he said, meditate on it day and night. How do you meditate? Think about how it applies to you. That's what all that conversation I was giving to you is about. Think about how, what does that mean to you in your spirit right now? And I want to give you this before we wrap up and go home. You're listening? What it means in your spirit today is not what it's going to mean in a year or 6 months from now. Because God will bring that same word to you and you're in a different place now and it has a different meaning to you now. So he's saying, I want you to meditate. Think about what the word means to you, how you can apply it to your life where you are, what it means to you where you stand right now. Not what it means to this person or that person. This guy goes on mission trips and all that. That's his business. I'm not called to go on mission trips and I'm not going on any. Well, we all going. Well, God bless you. And I hope that you don't get hit by eaten by a lion. I'm not going. This is not what I'm called to do. You follow what I'm saying? I'm not doing it. And if I get out there, I'm going to wind up getting hurt because I ain't supposed to be there. This is real talk. I'm not going to no safari. I'm just not going. Just you go ahead and you have fun. Black people in woods and camping and all that stuff, that's not something we do like that. You'll do that. Have fun with that. I'm not called to all of that. Well, maybe you are, but I'm not. That's not what I do. You're keep that. So now, meditating on how the word applies to me and then functioning out of that in this season and time of your life. So I'm bringing it home. So I'm getting really, really serious right now. Meditating on how it applies to you at this season of your life is meditating on how it applies to you in this season of your life. Thinking about it, pondering it, hiding it in your heart so that it becomes a clear truth to you. Reading and confessing the word every day is helpful. Don't get me wrong. But if you're not sitting down with it, sometime verse at a time, and letting it become illumination and light to you, you're not meditating on the word. The truth is you sit with it until it becomes part of your identity in the way you see things. Right? A lot of what we see or believe is what we saw on the internet, what we heard online nowadays. Our kids are indoctrinated with it. I'm gonna send you this video. This teacher's in the classroom with a young girl and she's talking about them. I don't know if you see about who is Elvis Presley. And the kids are going, these are high school, 11 going to 12th grade, talking about, didn't he invent the electricity? And then one girl is going, no, that's not Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley, Elvis Presley, not a singer. No, he invented the law of Newton. She literally says this. And she said, no, electricity was created by Thomas. And she said, like, who? She said, Thomas Anderson, which is the Matrix. And then the other one said, no, Thomas the Train. This is high school kids. And I'm going, but they're influenced by meditating on garbage that they don't even know that what they're saying is this ridiculous. And the girl's argument is, well, we don't know about that stuff today. We don't need that stuff today. We don't, so they don't need to know. She don't need to know that Thomas the Train didn't discover electricity. I mean, it's funny, but it's sad because the things that are forcing or fighting is a better word, that are fighting for our attention are the things that are not the principles of God. The things that are fighting for our mindset are the things that are not principles of God. The things that are fighting for us to ponder and dwell on them day and night and night and day are not the things of God. And God, let me help me say this right, because this is what I'm dealing with. So much is fighting for my attention. Problems, family matters, Netflix, or whatever video options we got, right? No binge watching. Man, I can get on the phone and start playing the game and then keep playing that game and look up and it's dark outside. You follow what I'm saying? Stupid, vain conversations. These things battle for your attention so that the word is now departed from your mouth or from your conversation. Is no longer part of who we are. We have to be careful. Not here rebuking anybody. I'm saying we have to be careful that these things that fight for our attention are there for a reason, because they're designed to get us to worry and be concerned about this and that and this political, and if this is Trump or if it's Kamala or this one is Republican, is Democrat, and all these things are vying for our attention. They're fighting for our conversation. Sometimes it's success. It's fighting for your conversation. It's fighting for your attention. And you have to say, so then what words are coming out of my mouth now? Because the word has departed. Come on, come on, stay with me here. The word has left me. I am not even speaking from that place of peace and assurance of what he said. I'm speaking from what the atmosphere is saying. And all of a sudden, I don't realize that the word has the power. Oh no, whenever I have prayer time, no. All day, every day, who am I? What have I meditated on? What has taken my attention? What has kept my attention? And what has the majority of my attention? So that when I speak, the word that comes out of my mouth, I have to sometimes force God out. And I'm not saying I'm in that place, and I'm not saying you're in that place, but I'm just saying I want you to be mindful that's what comes out your mouth, and let's bring it home. It should not depart from your mouth. You should meditate on day and night so that you may be careful to do everything in accordance with all that what of that which is written. For then, God will make your way prosperous. Nobody corrected me, because that's not what it says. It says, for then you will make your way prosperous. Read it. It's right there. For then you. So God said, the power for you to be prosperous is not in prayer time, asking God to bless your this and to bless your that. He said, meditate on this word. Don't let it depart from your mouth. For then you will make your way prosperous. And that one hit me like a building fell on me. God, I know that already as a truth. But somehow I forgot, and I started thinking it's your responsibility to make my way prosperous. And as a friend, my way is already prosperous because I got a rich friend. But I have to guard my heart through meditation on your word, that what comes out of me is what you put in me. And then I have the wonderful opportunity as a result of that to make my own way prosperous and then help other people make their way prosperous. How? By when I get rich, I'm gonna hook everybody up. God said, you need to stop saying that. Even to the Vision Builders team, he said, you need to stop saying that. You're supposed to give them the way and then they make their way prosperous with you, but you can't carry people into success. Like, wow. Wow. So I'm here today. I'm gonna wrap it up on this. We'll pick it up next week. I'm here today to say, this book is a spiritual law, and the friendship requires me to meditate. Another way to say meditate just came to me. Spend time talking to God. Spend quality time having a conversation with God about what you see and what you're reading, what surrounds you. Not the problems all the time, but like we said last week, we come to God with the issues, we lay them down before him, and then we pick this up. And we meditate on what it says in place of what's been in front of our eyes to distract us. There is so many things competing for God's place in your heart, mind, and conversation. In this season and time, let us keep our focus on meditating on what we know our right and power is. And every step I've taken, even the ones that have been painful, has brought me to a place of God's righteousness and goodness in Jesus' name. And so we'll keep it that way. And we'll walk this out together. And if we need to, we'll hold each other accountable until we get to the place that God has called us to be. Amen. And amen. Stop the recording.